What a difference a day made. 24 little hours. What the sun and the flowers.
Welcome back. That was Dinah Washington. Before that, we heard Charlie Parker, because this is their both birthdays for those people, and we like to celebrate those birthdays when they come about. But we're also today going to switch gears here. On the way to this conversation, I want to remind you that the Mark Steiner Show is brought to you in part by MeQ, Baltimore's credit union, offering a full range of financial services. MeQ, Baltimore's credit union, is helping its members and its community prosper. When you invest in yourself, MeQ invests for you, in you. More information at www.mecu.com. We've done programs about the murders of both Anthony Anderson and Tyrone West at the hands of the Baltimore police. Anthony Anderson's death was called a homicide. We talked about the coroner's report and everything else that happened with that. There has not been a – the police have – nobody's acknowledged what the death of Tyrone West is, legally speaking, yet. But this is something that we thought we need to continue to talk about and continue to talk about with the families of Tyrone West, Anthony Anderson. The family of Anthony Anderson are actually having an event this Saturday to take over a vacant lot to commemorate in his memory and in changing the nature of how things are done in this community. We are joined here in the studio by Tawanda Jones, who is Tyrone West's sister, Jamie Richardson, who is Tyrone West's cousin, George Peoples, who is Tyrone West's uncle. And joining us by phone right now is Edith Butcher, Anthony Anderson's mother, and all welcome. Good to have you with us.
We're glad to be here, Mark.
Thank you.
And let me first say our hearts go out to all of you for the loss that you all suffered in the deaths of the men that you loved. And folks, you can join us here at 410-319-8888. Write to us here at SteinerShow at gmail.com. Tweet us at Mark Steiner. Jump onto our Facebook pages. Ms. Butcher, let me start with you, my deepest condolences on the loss of your son. But could you tell us what this event is that you all are having Saturday? I found this a kind of very unique way to respond to the event. Could you tell our listening world about that?
Oh, it's his birthday. On this weekend, 31st, is Anthony's birthday. And he was preparing for a party for his granddaughter at the same time he was preparing for himself when this happened. And that's what we're trying to do this weekend. And anybody that want to contribute or come to it is perfectly welcome. In 1208 North Montford Avenue, that's my address where we're going to start at, right there in front of the house, and go right here to the lot because it's not that far from the house.
And you're talking about creating a park on this empty lot and calling it the Anthony Anderson Park. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
And so what do you think that space, what do you all think about that space and what that space will be?
Well, we want to make it for a playground for the little children in the little area. These kids don't have anything to do and nowhere to go. So we figured we'd try to make a nice park right there for the children in the neighborhood. Anthony loved children very much. Mm-hmm. And he spent a lot of time with his grandchildren, so we know that he loves children. And his nieces and nephews, he had several of them that he cared a lot about, and he did a lot for them during the process of their years and his on this world and his years on the world. And whatever he could do for them, he did. And it was three of them in particular that he really did a lot for. His three young ladies, Yvonne, Tyrell Subs, and DeKayla Anderson, and Tylan Anderson. Those were the three ones that he really done for and stuck with them. And Shayla Anderson, that he basically did a lot for them and took them places to play and carry them to the parks and stuff like that. So he loved doing things for the children. So that's what we're trying to create, an environment for them to have to play and be able to be safe at. That's why we want to build this park for him.
And this will be at East Biddle and North Montford
right,
this Saturday.
Between Biddle and Montford.
At noon this Saturday. And I also want to bring into the conversation our other guests, George Peoples, Jamie Richardson, and Tawanda Jones. Thank you all for coming in the studio. We appreciate you being here.
Glad being here, Mark.
Yes. I would like to say something to Anthony Anderson, Mom. First of all, I want to say that I will definitely be there in support of you and your family, because now I feel your pain, because my brother was just murdered on July the 18th, and we still haven't had answers. And I just wanted to say that we share in your loss, and I share your pain. And when I hear you say that, how a family guy that Anthony Anderson was, so was my brother Tyrone West. He loved kids, he loved doing artwork, and he truly loved his family. And just to know that the events that took place, I feel like foreverly bonded with you, even though I don't know you. And just to give you a little history of me, even though his last name is West and whatnot, but we are Andersons, because my grandmother, my mother's name is Shirley Anderson. And to think that we would be bonded like this, and to for me to just discover that the same cops that murdered your son was let free, and they killed my brother. They were two of the officers that murdered my brother, along with the rest of the officers, and count total 9. That, you know, that's on the count record. So this just, like, has my mind blown. But like I said, I will definitely be there in support of you. And
thank
anything you,
you
need. Thank you for having us out there. We will
whatever
definitely
you want to bring.
Yes, me and my whole family is going to be out there. Many of us that could come, we will definitely be there.
Okay, yes. I appreciate meeting all of y'all.
Yes. It's sad we got to meet on these sad times, but
yes,
I believe, you know, a God-fearing woman that I am, I believe that God does everything for a reason, and he's the only reason
that's
keeping me strong through this kind of pain. He's the reason that
there
I wake up and I'm
there
able to go to work and do my job and have the same mind and come home and take care of my kids and be able to do things for my brother kids that he's now not able to do and spend time with them, you know. So this is, like, really hard, but just speaking from your pain, I know it. I'm feeling it now. It's like,
yep.
I feel that being in another world, pain, disbelief, shock,
we
all of that.
See him again.
Yes, amen. Amen.
Oh,
we definitely will.
Gonna see him again.
Amen.
That's why amen. I said I'm really hurt about the law system as far as the police getting away with doing what they did to my son.
Exactly, and I feel your pain, because had they would have been...
God's going to get them back.
Yes. Oh, yeah, absolutely. The battle was not ours, it's the Lord's.
Oh, no,
but
it's not. No,
my
it's
thing
not.
Is, had they would have arrested those officers, my brother would have still been here. Because these are the same officers, not the squad, but the same exact two officers took part in murdering my brother. Murdering my brother. We still don't have the autopsy. We had to bury my brother without a death certificate, which we still don't have. This is like torture. We're being re-victimized all over and over and over again. So, like, I feel as though if it was justice on your end, we probably wouldn't even be here today. You know, I would still be sharing mornings with my brother. You know, and I'm sorry that that happened to Anthony Anderson, because he could be with his family. He could be with you right now.
So
I miss him. I miss him very much, because it wasn't nothing I didn't want or want to do that Anthony didn't come and do for me. And when my daughter would go to school and I'd be here by myself, he would come here and say, Ma, have you ate your breakfast yet?
Mm-hmm.
And Ma, well, he fussed at me all the time, but he gave them to me anyway.
And I said, I'm glad you said that, because that makes me, it's sharing so much light, because the same things that you're saying that he did for you was the same exact thing that my brother would go and check on my grandmother, who, Miss Anderson, who just turned 80 years old. He would go and check on her every single day and help her exercise and do different things. So I know your pain. I know your pain, because like I said, he's no longer with us. For us, he's here in spirit only, but physically, he used to do the same thing, go and help my grandmother exercise every day, walk her up and down the hallway, help her give her breakfast and things like that, and just help the whole entire family out doing things.
Right.
And that day when he was murdered, he had my vehicle, and he was going to do me a favor to go and pick my daughter up for work. You know?
Believe it or not,
it's horrible.
I'm sorry, what were you saying, Miss Butcher?
I said, believe it or not, that particular day that happened to Anthony, he came down early that morning and he said, Ma, you want to go with me? I said, yeah, where you going? He said, Ma, I got a doctor's appointment. You feel like riding with me? And I did. I don't even remember what street he was on, but I went to the doctor with him, and he was in and out so fast, I was surprised, because you know, I ain't never known no doctor's office that fast.
Wow.
And he brought me back, and then he said, well, I tell you what, we're going down to Jean's house. I said, okay, that's his baby daughter. And we went down the bottom, and we sat down on the steps with her, and him and Tyrell went to the store, and they bought ice cream, and she sat there and made a mess of the ice cream, and him and her ran up and down and played. And I was so tickled at him, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It never dawned on me that that would be the last thing that, excuse me,
right,
I would do with my son.
Right.
And then we came back up, and his other daughter, Yvonne, right,
mm-hmm.
Her baby's birthday was due. And he took her shopping.
Mm-mm-mm-mm.
And they left and went to the Walmart. So when he came back from the Walmart, I was sitting outside on the step. And he had bought her a big car, one of them battery-operated cars, right?
Uh-huh.
And I said, oh, let me see. So I got up off the step, and I walked across the street. At that time, my daughter was pulling up. And I'm standing there, and I'm looking in the back of his car at the pretty car that he had bought the baby.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going, oh, my God, this is so nice. That's why I got to stop it, because then I'm talking about the case.
Right, I understand you can't do that. I understand that.
Right, I can't talk about the case.
So we won't trick you into that one. Don't worry. We won't let you go there. But
I was enjoying myself with him.
Yes.
And like I said, I had no idea that.
Right. You just never know, because I just thank God that I got a chance, one last chance to, you know, tell my brother that I loved him, because we always said we loved each other every day and, you know, things
that's
like that. And he, you know, he adored this family, you know. And my Aunt Diane, who's now, like, really sick, all my uncles and just everybody, you know, it's just he really loved this family. And I'm glad I got to eat one last dinner with him. Never knew that this was going to be our final dinner, but I'm glad that I got to share part of that.
So, you said that's your brother, right?
Yes, that's my brother.
So, the people are calling in. I want to get to these phone calls coming in, 410-319-8888, but I also want to introduce our other guests here in the studio, George Peoples, who's Tyrone West's uncle, and Jamie Richardson, Tyrone's cousin. George, let me just bring you in here for a minute. I think it was important. This is really important for the people of Baltimore to hear the voices of Anthony Anderson's mother and Tyrone West's sister. I think people need to hear the pain and the reality of what goes on in people's lives in our community that we don't hear. People can go watch Fruitvale Station, but this is what's happening in reality in our community now.
Yeah, well, Mark, that's really true, because you know, when a lot of times these things happen, you don't realize how devastating it is. When it comes to your door, you never realize the impact that it has on the totality of the family. Just last evening, our whole family went to a group grief counseling at Roberta's house. I mean, it's,
Roberta's house, right?
Yes. It's like a total devastating effect, because for one thing about the matter is that you find that they try to dehumanize the victims in these mm-hmm. in these affairs. These people really have lives. They have family. You know, they love ones, and it's really hard to separate the two when you're a part of the family. I mean, and this is not only happening right here at home in Baltimore, but it's happening all over. I mean,
yes, you're right.
It's happening all over, and it's just has to stop. I mean, so many things are happening that turn families apart. I mean, when you think about law enforcement, you think about protection, you think about security. There's no question that we do need police. But the fact still remains is that there are bad apples in everything that you do.
All right. Say it again.
I mean, you have to try separate the good from the bad. And believe you me, Mark, whatever was done in the dark will come out to the light. The light always prevails. The light always prevails. We're trusting in the Lord that things are going to happen. If not today, tomorrow, then later. Because
eventually, God's going to take care of it.
Yes. Eventually, it will. And it's not. And it's not that we're out for revenge. It's not that we're out for animosity. You know, justice is not only about law, but justice is being fair and doing the right things. When you do the right things, you feel good inside. But how can law enforcement officers just not be responsible and held accountable for what they do?
Exactly.
I mean, that's I think the conversation that has to be pursued. And when the state attorney comes on next week, we'll pursue that with him and with Commissioner Batts when he comes in the studio. And I don't know if they have heard, but we'll play some of these for them. They need to hear your voices.
Yes.
And what happened? That's the reality of the situation that we do not hear. Jamie, we haven't heard from you yet.
Tyrone West is my cousin. My name is Jamie Richardson. I just want to say that, you know, like what are the officers teaching our children? You know, when they come into the schools and say, you know, that they're here to protect and serve and things like that. What are they teaching our children?
Can I say something to you a minute?
Mm-hmm.
I think those officers are decent, and some of them are teaching the children the right way. But then you got the, like he said, the bad apples mixed up in there.
Mm-hmm.
So them bad apples is the ones that you got to try to root out from the good ones, because you do got some good ones.
But you know, you have to realize one thing here. Being police officers, and there was so many police officers involved in these incidents, how can you as a good police officer stand by and see other bad police and
mm-hmm.
not say anything?
Disgusting.
And not say, what do you know, where is the morality?
Right. Well, I'm going to step in on that incident again, because in the particular incident with my son, there was, I'm going to say, two officers that were good officers, because two of them stated to them, y'all need to call that man an ambulance. And that was two of them. But the rest of them, like I said, they just stood there. So I'm in the same situation with the Martin family. I mean, y'all, that you have so many of them that wasn't good.
And I just want to jump in real fast and say something.
Okay, Jimmy, go ahead. And then, Jimmy, I want Jenny to have a chance to finish her statement.
Okay.
You're in the middle of something that you hadn't finished. Go ahead.
Okay. and I want to also say that I want to take it back to the kids again, because, you know, our children are scarred behind this situation. And when you said that we do have good cops, or what about the officers who feel as though they don't want to jeopardize their jobs, you know, by not saying anything and just by, you know, letting this take place? What about those people who just stand back and on the side and say, oh, well, my job is more important, you know, than this? And I just wanted to say, if everybody can just take the time and actually think about what happened, and it could have been them, just actually take the time to sit back and actually analyze the situation, because it could be anybody. This could happen to anybody. Anybody.
I'm just looking for a paycheck.
Well, this is actually going to go on until you have a state's attorney who won't be afraid to prosecute those that are doing wrong.
How
I mean, the onus really falls on the state's attorney's office who makes the ultimate decision as to whether or not to prosecute these bad officers or to let them off. Now, of course, he has a boss, too, which is the mayor, but she has a very top say-so. But it falls on his office to do the right thing.
But from what I've seen so far, she's not doing her job either.
No, she's not at all.
No, and just the sad part about it is you think about people that's in the office, this period, that's just running things. Nobody, just out of disrespect, has said anything to my family.
Nobody.
At all to say we're going to try to get justice, we're going to do a thorough investigation. We have not heard anything. And I think that's horrible. I think it's awful. And last but not least, I just want to mention that the conversation with my brother that day, because we were so worried, and it bothered us about the Trayvon Martin case, and it really affected us, and you know the outcome of the, you know, the case and whatnot. And my brother said something to me that will never ever leave me, and he said, that is so sad and it's unfortunate. He said, but right here where we live at, there's Zimmermans on every corner. And I didn't know why he said that, but now I know. My brother Tyrone said that the day he was murdered. The day he was murdered, he said, sis, he said, this is a bigger problem than what you know. He said, there's Zimmermans on every corner. This is what my brother said to me. Before he pulled off, we were talking about, we were eating dinner, and we just brought up the thing, and then he was just asking me how was I holding up about the Trayvon Martin case, because it really bothered me, and it bothered him, and he said, yeah, it's going to be okay, sis. And then that's when he said, there's Zimmermans on every corner.
The number here is 410-319-8888. One caller, Shakisha, had to hang up. I apologize. She has something important to say to the women in this room. If you have a chance to call back, we'll take your call. Let's go to the next caller up, though, at 410-319-8888. Morning, you're on the air. Welcome, morning, you're on the air.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
I wanted to say that the problem is not a state's attorney problem. We don't need a new state's attorney problem. We don't need a new state's attorney. What we need is the current state's attorney sit down with probation, sit down with social services, sit down with all the agencies who deal with criminology, and bring a person and put their file on that desk. And everybody agreed to do what they are supposed to do to remedy that situation. As it is, the police may not let probation know that he's violated his probation. They may not let social services who support him know that he's out of order. We need them to come together and work together, and we could resolve some of these problems of real current criminals in our neighborhood. We had a beautiful state's attorney in Pat Jessamy.
Okay,
we let somebody convince us that the crime was going up when actually it was going down. Go ahead.
No. We're just trying to focus you on the family and what we do in the city about the kind of brutality that people face in the communities from those who are supposed to be protecting the community. I think that's what we're trying to focus on with our guests now, because I was thinking about, George, what you were saying, and that I think that somehow there does have to be kind of a larger social response to this.
It has to be.
Then
that's truly correct, Mark. And in regards to your caller's statement about we don't need a state's attorney, I can somewhat see where she's coming from. However, when any type of criminology occurs, you have to have someone who's going to be able to say that this happened or that happened. But getting back to the larger picture, Mark, we do need some type of total social commentary or social gathering on this type of a thing that's happening. The police brutality, I mean, that's really, we have to have a forum on that.
And I feel as though nobody deserves to die. I don't care if he was on parole, probation, whatever. Nobody deserves to die. God gave us all. We all are sinners saved by grace. You know what I'm saying? And nobody can judge nobody. The only person that can ever judge any of us is when we go to our final moment to be with God. And that's just the thing. The systematic problem to me is I feel as though when somebody gets murdered, they want to pull up their past record and make that seem like that's an excuse for them to murder somebody. But they don't pull up the fact that, oh, well, since this person has been home, they never had a thrush with the Lord. or, oh, this person gave his life to Christ. Oh, he's go to church. Oh, he does this. He worked here. He did. They don't say that. They just want to dehumanize people and say, oh, but they were on parole and probation, and nobody deserves to die. I don't care if you serve 50 years in jail or a year or a day or not a day. Nobody deserves to die to be brutally murdered. Nobody.
You know, that's a very good point that my niece just brought up, because with the police officer's recent death, I mean, death in any type of a situation or circumstance is really bad. And our heart goes out to any family and anybody. Situation.
In the few minutes we have left, I think the, a couple things I want to hit before we have to, we're almost out of time. One of the things you just said a moment ago, George, early in the program, which I think is important, that people, is the grieving process that families go through in this community. People don't have their hands around that at all, because we do demonize in the press. Mm-hmm. Young black men especially. Yes. And so...
Well, the press ain't much help.
Right. What did you say, Miss Butcher?
The press is not much help, because if you sit down and read the paper real good, after something's happened to somebody in your family, they done told a lot of lies, too. So
amen.
They ain't much good. They don't bear the truth.
Exactly.
They only get one side, which is the police side. That's it.
Well, that's why we try to have the forums in this conversation here in this program, to give everyone a say. Voices need to be heard in this community. I want to remind people,
yes,
before we leave, that Baltimore Families Against Police Brutality, of the family of Anthony Anderson and the family of Tyrone West, will be at East Biddle in North Montford Street this Saturday, August 31st at noon, to take an empty lot and commemorate into a park for young children in the memory of Anthony Anderson and others. So we encourage everybody to be there, support the families, support a different kind of Baltimore that we can build together. Again, one of my condolences and to all of everybody who was on the show today for the loss that you suffered. Ms. Edith Butcher, thank you so much for joining us. I look forward to meeting you in person.
All right. You're quite welcome to come, too.
I know. Thank you very much. And George Peoples, Tyrone West's uncle, good to have you in the studio.
Thank you, Mark. We're glad to be here.
Jamie Richardson, cousin of Tyrone West.
Thank you.
And Tawana Jones, Tyrone's sister.
Thank you.
Thank you all four for being with us today.
Thank you.
Thank you. It's nice
meeting
all of y'all, sir.
Yes, see you soon. Can't wait to see you.
Yeah.
And next week, as we talk to some of the leading legal officials in the city, next week we encourage people to join that conversation, and we'll play some of this tape on that day for people to respond to as well.
Great.
All right.
Good to have you with
us.
So
thank everybody, and I want to send a special thanks to the Kent Moore community that has been helping out in this investigation. Thank you so much. I really greatly appreciate it. That's from my family to you guys. Thank you so much, and God bless y'all.
Thank you all for being here. Now, on the way out, I must tell you the Mark Steiner Show is brought to you in part by the Maryland Department of Housing and Community Development. Mortgage late, don't wait. If you're struggling with your mortgage, the state of Maryland is offering housing counseling and legal assistance. Maryland's HOPE program can even help you understand the state's mediation law and the Attorney General's National Foreclosure Settlement. Don't wait. Get help today. More information at mdhope.org or at 877-462-7555. And the Mark Steiner Show is a production of the Center for Emerging Media. Our producers are Stephanie Mavronis and Mark Gunnery. Our engineer is Andrea Melton. Our intern is Daniel Dupree. You can hear this show again, find out information about our guests, what's happening this Saturday, and more by visiting our website at steinershow.org. You can also download and listen to our podcast on iTunes as well. And for Public Radio, WEAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community, I'm Mark Steiner. Take care.